Something funny's going on here, guys. Something's funny going on. I don't know what I'm going to do about the next hour. Who knows? Let's just say, let's go. Hee-yah! Oh, my. Isn't this a lot of fun? Hey, welcome, everyone. This is Raymond with the Unbought and Unbossed Show, Canadian political news and views. This is show number 128. This is July 1st, 2009. What have I got? I got my mission statement. Unbought and Unbossed is an independent voice dedicated to presenting and discussing the political and social issues most relevant to Canadian citizens. This show contends that 9/11 is Canada's single most important issue because the self-inflicted attacks of 9/11 are being used as the justification for the current overthrow of our democratic and sovereign nationhood, turning Canada into a corporate-driven plutocracy. The official story of the 9/11 terror attacks and the ensuing war of terror are deeply troubling and are at the forefront of this radio program. I strongly encourage listeners to question what you think you know about today's world events and to analyze the motives behind our traditional news sources. That means your TV and your newspaper. Each week, new segments of Unbought and Unbossed offer further evidence for these incredible claims, which are either omitted, distorted by the mainstream corporate media. Turn your television off. You are being lied to and conditioned to accept this madness as our inevitable future. We must work to return the future of the human race to its rightful owners. That's you. Or ignore it. Maybe it will go away on its own. Mentality is killing us. It has to end now. It is high time to wake up and to educate, to learn, to work together, and to find the courage to act on our love for one another. Our every freedom is at stake in this battle for truth and accountability. The prize is nothing less than the health of our collective human soul. The revolution has begun. I suggest you find your role.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, well, Arby is on his way down because things are really, really messed up down here. Well, not with me in that last show. Hey, we're looking pretty good, aren't we? Yes, this is live radio. Arby's going to come save our high knees. All right, what do I got for you? Unbought and Unbossed, show number 128. It's Canada Day. Yes, indeed. You know what? Nationalism is a very dangerous concept. Because it makes misinformed people do really stupid things, like join the armed forces and fight for corporate New World Order objectives. You know what? This war of terror is a big effing lie. And the other thing that really pisses me off about Canadians, you're pretending that you're something that you're not, dummy. Oh, that pisses me off. But what do I know? I'm an American. Oh, you want to see me pissed off at something? I'll switch sides there. But anyways, you're listening to DJ Shadow, and then we're going to hear Ashley McIsaac. And, of course, we started with, as always, Bruce Colburn. Actions speak louder. Oh, what do I got for you tonight? I'm a little wound up because the computer seems to be kind of non-existent right now. Am I stressed out? Not at all. This is live radio. Right, Ray?
You betcha.
You betcha. Okay, what do I got for you tonight? A story that I touched on a little bit last week. Canadians are going to be vaccinated for who the hell knows what. We're going to be poisoned. This is an article that comes to us from that wonderful Canadian corporation, part of the Security and Prosperity Partnership. Yes, the official propaganda corporation, CanWest News Services. Yes, they're leaking this information that those under 40 and, well, natives first, so says their experts. We need to be vaccinated. And you know what? It's going to kill a hell of a lot more due to the vaccinations than any of this. Well, no, this man-made flu was not so bad, but the next ones are going to be bad. That's just the way it is. Let's pretend that this show is a little bit about food today, because it is. I have a trailer to a new picture called Food, Inc. It is the trailer, and it looks like a very powerful movie. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And, of course, another audio clip. A lot of you might remember from a couple years back, The Matrix. Yes, The Matrix. It's where you find out that the farm, the phony farm, is really a factory farm. Yes, indeed. And, well, the cow takes the right pill and sees the truth. And so shall you. Carrying on with the food and water issue, I have another audio clip. This is the trailer to the recent movie Flow. It is about water, 2008. This doc is directed by Irina Salina. It examines the global water crisis and presents a case against the growing privatization of the world's dwindling freshwater supply. I saw it this week, rented it at Van Isle. I suggest you see it as well. Now, I have something special. I guess this would be the key piece from tonight. There's a recent internet documentary movie produced and written by Ben Stewart. It's called Chymatica. Thank you, Anna from Gabriola, for pointing this one out to me last week. I've seen it, and it blew my mind, and I need to share it. So, Chymatica is his first movie. Ben's movie was Esoteric Agenda. A lot of you New Agey, New World Ordery kind of truthers out there are familiar with that. So, Chymatica is the second installment from Ben Stewart. Let's see, the website is talismanicidols.org. Talismanic Idols. So this Chymatica movie, I'm going to be playing two of the chapters from it. There are eight in total. They are as follows. Creation, which I'll be playing. Mythos, Logos, Law, Psyche, Symbols, Symptoms, and Self. So like I said, I'm going to be playing the Creation, a little bit of Mythos, and then part four on Law. The first public showing of this film was in March 2009 at the New York Arts Festival. I've contacted Ben Stewart, and I'm hoping he'll agree to an interview because he says a lot of things that really pissed me off. And, you know, I pretty much say bullshit to everything new that comes my way until I investigate it and try to make sense out of it. And Ben's put a whole lot of new ideas in my head, and damn it, I've got to shuffle them around and make sense out of them. So I'm going to go into that a little bit later. He actually includes his, well, manifesto, and I'm going to be reading from that, and it's a lot of big topics. This movie attempts to answer the big questions, the big ones, guys. It's taken as a given that the war of terror is a crock of shit. It's manipulated, that our governments are not democratic. They're more fascist in nature than anything else, that there is indeed a new world order pulling the strings. That is taken as a given. People that listen to the show, I'm hoping most of you are with me on that. However, I'm not saying you can't get something out of this film. It is quite amazing. I got one more Ashley McKeyser coming up, so that means I can carry on for a little bit. Oh, actually, as far as an outline, there we are. There's a lot of things on the outline that I haven't talked about yet. But let's move on to an upcoming interview in 2 weeks from now. I'm going to have Jonathan Kay of the National Post. Yes, Canada's flagship from CanWest Propaganda. He's writing a book on 9/11. It is called Among the Truthers, Alternative Theories About 9/11 and the People Who Believe Them. Let's see. Kevin Barrett was on my show 2 weeks back. And Jonathan Kay was on Kevin Barrett's show last week. So, of course, we're listening to it. And I'm not too impressed with Jonathan Kay here. I mean, this is just, you know, I'm not trying to scare them off the show. I mean, I would love, it would be the first time, in fact, that anyone has come on to defend the official story because he does believe in the incompetence theory. How frustrating is that? You know, this fellow has spent quite a few months studying this, and also, not only does he believe in the incompetence theory, but he will not be focusing on the evidence that the 9/11 Truth Movement, its scholars, scientists, researchers have put together. No, that's already been done. Well, so says Jonathan, and this comes to, this is what he said last week with the Kevin Barrett show. So I've got a lot of problems with this fellow, and I can't wait to discuss a couple neat ideas with him. And very good, Jonathan. Let's hold off. I don't need to say any more about that. But that's in 2 weeks from now. This has been a fairly popular interview. I've had different listeners email me and give me suggestions on how to deal with. Let's move on. Where else do I want to go? Let's see, the phone is ringing out there, but there's no one there, so I'm guessing that you're listening. I'm going to put on a quick song, so the person who's phoning the office, if you want to phone the studio, I'll answer your phone. Here comes a new band to me, the Racketeers. Jack White of the White Stripes, this is a band that he is in. Sounds very White Stripey, so let maybe even say it's his band. The only name I know on it. So this is Pull the Blanket Off. And Malcolm, thanks for turning me on to the Raconteurs, which basically means the repeaters, the reciters, the storytellers. And then I've got a little comedy piece, and then I'm going to come back and talk about this Canadians being vaccinated. So happy Canada Day, whatever that means, because I've got no idea. Here we go.
Pull this blanket off of me. Maybe it'll help you see. The thing I believe to be true. I'm paying for what should be free.
Arby, you're my hero here. Buddy, thanks for coming down. it's all good now. Or is it all good? Are you finished? Are you going home? Or is the problem fixed? It's just that I couldn't find the O-Drive.
Yep.
Okay. All right. There we are. So that was Jack White with his Raconteurs. And now a bit of an audio piece. Borat, that's Sacha Cohen, pretty funny guy. This is kind of a patriotic theme. While he's at the rodeo in the scene, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy.
Virginia, would you please steal a warm American welcome to a gentleman who has come all the way from Pakistan, and we are honored to have singing our national anthem. Ladies and gentlemen, Borat Sahia.
My name is Borat. I come from Kazakhstan. Can I say at first, we support your war of terror. May we show our support to our boys in Iraq. I now will sing our Kazakh national anthem to the tune of your national anthem. Listen. Kazakhstan is the greatest country in the world. All other countries are run by little girls. Kazakhstan is number one exporter of potassium. Other Central Asian countries have inferior potassium. Kazakhstan is the greatest country in the world. All other countries is the home of the gays.
Hey, there we are. He got booed out, poor guy. He tried so hard, didn't he? He supports the war of terror. Yes, the war of terror. Very nice. Okay, friends, so let's carry on. Before I get to that Canadians being vaccinated story, it is Canada Day. And you know what? Kathy Yule-Yott of Homemakers Magazine, she's the editor-in-chief, she asked people to email their 10 favorite Canadian things. Yes. And, well, here they are. Guess what? Tim Hortons, number 10. I think they're going to be Canadian again soon. Isn't that special? They're not even Canadian. Number 9, the Canadian Rocky Mountains. I agree. That's a pretty fantastic part of the world, isn't it? I don't know if it's really Canadian. Doesn't it belong to the planet? Yeah. Oh, here's another one that used to belong to the planet. Fresh water, number 8. Well, you know what? That's not going to happen for very much longer. It is being privatized, indeed. Number 7, of course, hockey, yes. Number 6, healthcare. Well, we got a bit of a problem there. It's being privatized, isn't it? Yes, it is. Number 5, freedom. And this is an important one. It says that we're overwhelmingly grateful for our freedom of speech and religion. And hear, hear. Yes, indeed. I can say a lot on this show and, for the most part, get away with it. So, Cesus, what you got on me? Also, we're thankful, apparently, for our nation's independence and democracy and our Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. You don't know what you're talking about if you think that we have those freedoms, because we don't. Those are privileges. And they are taken away as needed, aren't they? They're not rights, they're privileges, and they're taken back. Democracy, my foot. Independent? Are we more part of the American Union or the British Empire? Independent? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. 4, this is a pretty weak one, our changing seasons. Yes, it gets warm at a certain time of the year and it gets cold. Number 3, we're working our way down, the Canadian character. Apparently, Canadians are friendly, polite, generous, warm, open-minded, forgiving, humble, welcoming, caring, courteous, and honest. Not to mention gullible. Okay, and second to number 1, number 2, that makes it, the landscape. And that's kind of copying off the Rocky Mountains, I suppose, and our changing seasons. It says vast, clean, diverse, and green. These are some of the words you use to describe our home and native land. Take a look at the tar sands. That's a pretty vast, clean, diverse, green area, isn't it? And lastly, multiculturalism. Mm-hmm. Could it be divide and conquer? Could be a lot of things. So there we are. Those are 10 things that apparently Canadians wrote in to say that we love Canada for these reasons. If you want to find that, that's at the simpatico.msn.ca. If you are a Hotmail emailer, then you know about that site. Okie dokie. Let's move on to this vaccination story. And this was has been sent to me a couple times by a couple different people, but excuse me. The first one was my buddy Wayne in Fraser Valley. So these are his words, and then I'm going to cut to the story. The author is Sharon Kirky of CanWest News Service, June 21st, 09. So Wayne has to say, the following email and the attachments are from Jane Burgermeister. And the attachments are absolutely frightening. There are many, hundreds of pages that these, let me finish this. An investigative journalist and whistleblower from Austria who discovered and reported the fact that Baxter had deliberately tainted vaccines with a live virus. She has been working with doctors Rebecca Carley, Bill Deagle, True Ott, Alexander Jones, and others to expose the facts about the H1N1 and the viruses, as well as the agenda behind it. I don't know if that is available openly online, or I don't know if it's been published. Actually, Wayne, if you're listening and you know if that there's a website to those documents that you attached, that would be helpful. So carrying on, H1N1 is a made-in-the-lab false flag flu. screw their assurances about quality control. Vaccines do not work. They are full of toxins and are a danger to your health. I've had quite a few guests on this show the last couple months that have said exactly that. Some of them were experts and others in the medical field. This virus is real and will become lethal as it recombines. But the proposed solutions are bogus and will more likely weaken your immune system and or kill you. Good, healthy food and nutrients are what will help you. And Wayne points out that these are the same people that don't want us to have this stuff. They're giving us as chemical cocktails that you see in the supermarkets. So Wayne reminds us that this pandemic, in quotes, is about money, among other things. It is from a created threat to initiate an apparent globalist depopulation program. Now, he's talking about the documents of Jane Burgermeister, and this is exactly what she says, that these pandemics are intended to drastically lower the population on the planet. Very complex stuff. So this is what they have found, these independent scientists and researchers, that it appears it is a globalist depopulation program. After blowing out the world economy and forcing people to their knees. And, I wasn't going to say this, but there's another show on this CHLY that is a news show, a talk show. And, you know what, I'm not even going to go there. I will, as a matter of fact. You know what, guys, the world does work by conspiracy. That's just the way it is. Follow the money, and that is exactly what it will find every time. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that. Okay, getting back to Wayne's intro to Vaccinate Canada piece. Whether you want to believe or not, these people do not have our best interests at heart and do not trust the corporate media to ask questions and to hold anyone to account. Do your own research and inform others. The real danger is ignorance and falling victim to propaganda. Thank you, Wayne. That is a good introduction to this. So this is official propaganda. Sharon Kirky from CanWest News Services, and I'm abbreviating this and just taking out the juicy stuff. So starting the article, 5 to 40-year-olds and Canada's Aboriginal communities should be the first to get vaccinated against human swine flu, experts say, as Canadian officials decide who gets priority, as if it's a good thing, for the flu shots. Under Canada's official pandemic plan, the entire population would ultimately be immunized against H1N1 swine flu. But the vaccine will become available in batches, meaning the entire population can't be vaccinated at once. It might take 4 or 5 months to get all the vaccine we're going to get, during which time a second wave, look out, It's coming back stronger. A second wave of swine flu will be underway. Not could, will. I mean, what garbage here. The Public Health Agency of Canada is working on a priority list, deciding whether the first batches, where the first batches should go, and who should get injections first. All provinces and territories would be expected to follow the national prioritization scheme. Okay, so that's the meat of the that's the meat of the article, isn't it? That's pretty much all you need to know. So let's just touch on one or two more things. Talking about children. Shooting our children with poison. Gymnasiums could be used for mass school-based vaccination programs, but experts say the harder-to-reach group will be the 18 to 30-year-olds. Some, quote, some of them are in school, a lot of them are not. So says an expert. There's a name there, but I skipped it, so she's just an expert now. Continue the quote. They're very much living in the moment and don't necessarily see themselves as being at risk. We need some fast thinking about how to reach these people. Fast thinking. As if, gee, we never thought about that, flying a plane into a building. Oh, gee, we were just unprepared. Okay, carrying on. She suggests, this is the expert, suggests both could be set outside bars. Yes, that's where you Canadians go. Outside bars for information and immunization. Come, get your drugs. And conclude with another quote. You've got to be creative about this and really think out of the box. Okay, now to conclude the article. I'm being really sarcastic with this, aren't I? A little feisty tonight. Might be a good time for someone to call in. Okay. To conclude this article, one of the challenges will be getting people to agree to the shots, you think? There will be limited information about any vaccine safety before immunization campaigns are rolled out across the country. That's a lot of information. You're not going to know about what you're getting, are you? It says so right here from the official Canadian, well, the second official, I'll call the CBC number one propaganda and CanWest number two. There you go. That's what's going on. You're not going to know. We're going to shoot you up. Let's get back to another quote. We usually do research in healthy adults before we do it in children because this is a new vaccine and you want to be sure that it's safe and effective before you give it to vulnerable populations or populations who don't have the full capacity to make an informed decision about getting it or not. So those of us who are informed, they're making it sound like we're numbskulls or we don't have the full capacity to make an informed decision. How's that for insult? I'm insulted. You're going to tell me nothing about this shot, and it appears that the original flu was made in a laboratory. And, I don't have the full capacity to make an informed decision, so I might not want it. Yeah. That was Joanne Langley of the Health Canada's National Advisory Committee on Immunization. Yeah, okay. There you go. Canada, I am so proud of you. Well done, Canada. Wave that flag. Go to the parades. Rah, rah, rah. Okay. Oh, you know what I'm going to put on? And now, I purposefully read that funny little piece on the 10 things that Canadians like because the next song I'm going to play, I'm not kidding when I said I'm very grateful for my freedom of speech as it is so far. I'm going to play something that is going to be rather offensive to some people. And also, it talks about multiculturalism. So, thank you, Canada, for allowing me to touch on this very difficult subject of multiculturalism and allowing me the freedom of speech. So I am sincere about that. We do have freedom of speech. We don't have freedom of the press. You have to own the press if you want it to be free. That's the way that works. So what I'm going to play is It's a track by Body Count, and that's Ice-T's heavy metal band. And it's called There Goes the Neighborhood. And he's talking about black guys getting into heavy metal. It's like, what? You can't do that. That's like white guy's music. So if you're offended by the F-word, turn this off for 5 minutes, because he does say it one or two dozen times. So There Goes the Neighborhood, and happy birthday, Canada. Thank you for the freedom of speech, and I mean that sincerely. See you in a few. Ooh, I told you that was, that's rock and roll, all right. And those black guys can play guitar. So, hey, what's going on?
Aaron Russo's films have been nominated for six.
Oh, man. Something funky just happened on my iPod here. So, this is a good time to put this on.
Hi, I'm Gara Prusy, computer science faculty member at Vancouver Island University. And when I want to hear the other side of the story, I tune into 101.7 CHLY.
Okay, very nice, very nice. Okay, so yeah, that was Ice-T with his metal band Body Count, BC. BC's in the house. There we are. Kind of an interesting story, and... Yeah, I don't want to go into Ice-T talk right now, although I do have another song of his that I might get into later. However, where we're going to go next, you know what? Have I told you we're on CHLY? That's something I'm supposed to let you know. We're at 101.7, you know that, and unfortunately right now we are not online. Most times we are, we got some computer problems, and if you were to, hey, we got a phone call, someone wants to talk, that's good. Let's get you on. Hey, welcome to the Unbought and Unbought Show.
Hey, Raymond, it's Wayne Prunty here.
Wayne, how you doing, buddy?
I'm kind of burnt.
Burnt? Oh, you were outside today, weren't you?
I was a bit outside for a bit, yeah.
Yeah, it was a cooker out there.
To let you know, your server is down, your web server
is
down.
I know it is, brother.
Okay, because I've been trying to get through and listen.
I know. Someone else called me during that song to tell me that as well.
Oh, man.
So that's unfortunately, that is kind of shitty. So, you know, but thank you. Oh, you probably didn't hear this, but I read the that CanWest News Service piece about Canadians being vaccinated. And
right.
You sent me that. You were the first person to send me that article, and you talked about a Jane Burgermeister.
Right.
And the documents that were attached blew my mind. I haven't read them anywhere close to their entirety. I mean, it's hundreds and hundreds of pages.
You can't. Yeah, that's your whole show and more. You can probably read that, yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm wondering, do you know if Jane Burgermeister has published those documents online anywhere, or does she just have the hard copy?
Yes, you can search for them. They're online. The first place I would go is Dr. Deagle's site, NutriMedical Report, NutriMedical.com is the website.
Okay, yeah, because he's on that team, isn't he?
Right, yeah, or she's on his team, whatever. and along with another or quite a few other credible doctors and scientists.
Yeah,
and
yeah, okay.
So, yeah, that's what I would look. Otherwise, you can just, geez, I'm not sure what to Google, but Google her name for sure and documents filed in court, something like that.
Okay.
And you might come up with it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an absolutely frightening situation. Well, there's also, I didn't mention this, there's the online petition. It is the Universal Declaration of Resistance to Mandatory Vaccinations.
Right.
You know, which is something else that, you know, we're literally losing the freedom over our personal selves. Our bodies are, you know, if the state says you got to do something, you know, you got to put some poison or something unknown, you got to do it. You
know, yeah.
Just like we're a soldier. Soldiers have to do that as well. They've lost their right. They've given up their right if you're a soldier, and now everyone is going to be in that same camp.
Oh, it's ludicrous. And the one thing, I've been following Dr. Deagleshill quite regularly since this whole thing came about with the H1N1.
Yeah.
And he's working with a fellow by the name of Dr. Fred Graves, who is a law professor, and they've put together a toolkit as well called Jurisdictionary.
Hmm.
And they're urging people to get on board with that, and to they'll show you basically how to go to your local court. It doesn't matter if in the States or Canada or Britain or whatever, it's all common law.
Okay.
How to file injunctions against your local governments and your provincial governments and so on.
Okay.
To prevent them from going through this, yeah.
Very nice. Yeah.
So, somebody's going to have to get on with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've got a bad connection. I've got feedback as well as you're cutting in and out, brother.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, sorry that our station is down.
Yeah, that really sucks.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'll hopefully touch base with you soon off air.
Right on, brother. Bye-bye.
Okay,
thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. That was like an echo going on there, wasn't there? So, that's the second phone call that I'm sorry those of you that are not in the Nanaimo area that check into the show, we're down right now. So what I can tell you, and those of you probably already know this, that I do archive my shows. I'll give you the web address. I tell you what was on, give you links to all the things, and so on and so forth. So if you missed the episode or you want to find out, you know, who sang that thing, you know, who wrote that, this, and go to unbossed.livejournal.com. That's unbossed.livejournal.com. I don't think I need to say anything more than that. And I'll give you my email address as well. So that's a nice thing. Like, I've had a couple persons that I haven't had contact with in the past, and they're interested in the Jonathan Kay interview. The Canadian Post guy who's writing the book on the 9/11 truth movement. And apparently he doesn't need to really look at the evidence that's been provided. It's more of kind of a character. Who are these conspiracy people? What kind of person would not believe the government? Well, those of us who do not believe in the incompetence theory. Yeah, I have a feeling that the world's most wealthy and powerful are pretty much under control. That they're, you know, maybe they're a couple years backed up. You know, they're wanting to move this population control in earlier. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know any of this stuff. Gotta just inform yourself as much as possible, and whatever makes sense to you, that's what it's about. Actually, that is a bit of an intro into this Chimatica documentary. Again, the author, the man behind it is Ben Stewart. And boy, oh boy, it attempts to answer the big questions, the big ones. And I was a little disappointed, the idea of the possibility of ETs being our relatives, literally, that we've been aided here on Earth. He does hint in this place that, or in this Chimatica movie, that many of the mythologies, which includes religions, portray similar tales. And perhaps it is the civilization previous to this current human one. That's kind of a neat idea. So that is something that he doesn't he doesn't go into, and that's one of the reasons why I want to get him on the show. You don't mention E.T., and why is that? It seems that kind of that's where you're going. Well, one of the really fascinating things is he suggests that if you look at the definition of an organism, the Earth is one, literally, you know, as are we, and but the Earth is our mother as well, because, well, everything that is in us came from her, you know, perhaps a little bit of tweaking of the DNA, but, you know, physically. So that our planet, well, okay, for example, some crop circle researchers suggest that it is Gaia that is leaving many of these electromagnetic symbols behind, whether they're for us or others is, you know, so that's kind of an interesting thing that the UFOs are not making these things, that it is the Earth itself in some or all cases, you know, who knows. Anyway, so we're going to be getting to this Climatica before long. We still got plenty of time. It's, 8:48. Oh, you know what? The weather, I'm supposed to do a weather update, and it's a little bit late, but I will tell you that it is going to be beautiful for quite a few days in a row, just like today. No cloud, lots of sun, high temperatures. So there you go. That is the weather update. And, carrying on here, I've got some foodie clips for you here. So this first one is a new movie. I don't think it's out yet. I don't know. But again, I'll mention Van Isle once again. They're a great place to pick up documentaries in the Nanaimo area. So Food Inc., this is the trailer. It is put out by a group called Take Part. And the website is www.foodinc.com. That's FOODINC. foodincmovie.com. And then after that, as I told you, The Matrix. And that was a fun piece, a parable of The Matrix. And our poor unsuspecting cow takes the right colored pill and experiences what? Well, reality. That no, there's no such thing as the family farm. It's the factory farm. So there you go. You know, I've never been able to figure out how it is that we have so many animal lovers, and right now the media is making a huge, huge deal. You know, these people that are, you know, abusing their pets should, you know, have their heads chopped off, basically. But how many of these people eat meat from the grocery store? It's as simple as that. You're a hypocrite. I mean, there's not 100% alternatives, but there are many. And, you know, let's worry about the big problems. I'm not saying that animal and child abuse are certainly not acceptable, but yeah, let's focus on the right. Well, I don't want to say right because, you know, my right is not yours. So let's get on to those two audio clips: Food Inc. trailer, new documentary film, and then The Matrix. So we'll talk to you after that. All right, toodaloo.
The way we eat has changed more in the last 50 years than in the previous 10,000. The modern supermarket has on average 47,000 products.
The industry doesn't want you to know the truth about what you're eating, because if you knew, you might not want to eat it.
We've never had food companies this powerful in our history.
Everything we've done in modern agriculture is to grow it faster, fatter, bigger, cheaper.
If you can grow a chicken in 49 days, why would you want one you got to grow in 3 months?
When you go through the supermarket, there is an illusion of diversity.
So much of our industrial food turns out to be rearrangements of corn.
Sometimes you look at a vegetable and say, okay, well, we can get two hamburgers for the same price.
They have managed to make it against the law to criticize their products.
There is an effort to make it illegal to publish a photo of any industrial food operation.
I find it incredible that the FDA wants to allow the sale of meat to cloned animals without any labeling.
Peanut butter contaminated with salmonella.
E. coli has been found in spinach, apple juice.
Smells like money to me.
The average consumer does not feel very powerful. The exact opposite.
When we run an item past the supermarket scanner, we're voting for local or not, organic or not.
Look at the tobacco industry. The battle against tobacco is a perfect model of how an industry's irresponsible behavior can be changed.
Imagine what it would be if, as a national policy, the idea would be to have such nutritionally dense food that people actually felt better, had more energy, and weren't sick as much. You know, now, see, that's a noble goal.
People have got to start demanding good, wholesome food of us, and we'll deliver, I promise you.
Here you go, Leo.
Leo.
Who are you? How did you know my name?
I am Mufius, and I know a lot about you. Have you heard of the Matrix?
The Matrix?
Do you want to know what it is?
Okay.
The Matrix is all around you, Leo. It is the story we tell ourselves about where meat and animal products come from. This family farm is a fantasy. Take the blue pill and stay here in the fantasy. Take the red pill and I'll show you the truth. Welcome to the real world.
Wow! What is this horrible place?
This is a factory farm, Leo. Places like this are where most eggs, milk, and meat come from.
How did this happen?
I'll show you. In the mid-20th century, greedy agriculture corporations began modifying sustainable family farming to maximize their profits at great cost to both humans and animals. Factory farming was born. Animals are packed as closely together as possible. Most never see sunlight, touch ground, or get fresh air. Many can't even turn around. These cruel conditions cause fights and disease amongst the animals. To fix this, the corporate machine began systematic mutilations, practices such as debeaking chickens. And they started adding a constant dosage of antibiotics to their feed just to keep these poor wretches alive. This overuse of antibiotics breeds super strains of resistant disease-causing germs. Every day we get closer to an epidemic that cannot be stopped.
Ew! What's that smell?
12 million pounds of excrement.
This pollutes the air and groundwater. That's why communities near factory farms often suffer from high levels of related sicknesses.
Well, it smells like
And what's more, factory farming corporations have been destroying communities and mistreating their workers for decades. Since 1950, over 2 million small hog farms have disappeared. If they continue at this rate, there'll be no real independent family farms left. That is the Matrix, Leo. The lie we tell ourselves about where our food comes from. But it's not too late. There is a resistance.
Count me in! So how do we stop the Mufius?
We are going to spread the word. But it's you, the consumer, who has the real power. Don't support the factory farming machine. There's a world of alternatives. Click here, and I'll show you what you can do to escape the Matrix.
Hey, there we go. That's the Matrix. So I hope you enjoyed that. I know that there's a lot of foodies out there, and thank goodness for you. You know, you people that are saving the seeds, God bless you. Someone's going to. Because, if, well, we let the Canadian government do what they're doing, you know, letting the corporations take control of our food supply. We're going to continue to get poorer and poorer quality. And, well, really untested in the long-term thing. You know, I mean, this is all such shallow, immediate profit and screw the long-term, you know, that sustainability is a stupid word because it's used by politicians, you know, misused a million times a day. But at one time, before that word was stolen, sustainable did mean something. And so maybe there's another word for that. I got a phone call from Kenny, and he was telling me, since there was kind of the foodie talk, he suggested a track. It's called Cows with Guns, and that sounds very interesting. So we're going to play that. You know, I think that might be the first time I've ever taken a request. And Cows with Guns, that's a real popular one. Everyone knows that one, right?
Yeah.
That that's always getting requests. All right, you foodies out there, is a special one for you. Be well.
Fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die, die to be ate at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. Nobody knew, no one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Cows say tongue. He spoke about justice, but nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. Cowed all drums. He moved, we must fight, escape or we'll die. Cows gathered around, cause the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. But then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bum. He was a scrawny calf who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing a hoozy. Cows with guns. They came with a needle to stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin. He pissed in their eye. Cow well hung. Knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor. Run, cows, run. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free-roving bovines. We run free today. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. Crashed the gate in a great stampede, tipped over milk truck, torched all the feed. Cows have fun. 60 police cars were piled in a heap, covered in cow pies, covered up deep. Much cow dung. Black smoke rising, darken in the day, 12 burning McDonald's, have it your way. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. The president said, enough is enough. These uppity cattle, it's time to get tough. Cow dung flung. The newspapers gloated, folks sighed with relief. Tomorrow at noon, they would all be ground beef. Cows on buns. The cows were surrounded, they waited and prayed. They mooed their last moos, they chewed their last hay. Cows outgunned. The order was given to turn cows to whoppers, enforced by the might of 10,000 coppers. But on the horizon, surrounding the shoppers, came the deafening roar of chickens in choppers. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high.
Back, Cows with Guns. That was a lot of fun, Kenny. That was who was that? Dana Lyons. Yeah, Dana Lyons. Cows with Guns. A lot of fun. Well done. Okay, we're gonna go now. Oh, hey, you guys like movies? I like movies. You might have heard of Quentin Tarantino. He did Reservoir Dogs. What a nasty little piece of film that is. So good. In fact, you're gonna hear from it. This is Steve Buscemi and Harvey Keitel. All right.
Look, man, you do what you want. I'm at...
You know what? I forgot to play... Here, you know what? Here, listen to this. Oh, it won't play it. Oh, come on. It's like it's on... the Winamp thing is... No, Shuffle's not even on. I'm trying to... No, it won't let me play. I was going to do the mature warning content because it's a Quentin Tarantino movie, isn't it? Let's get on with it.
Stay here, man. I'm going to check into a motel for a few days. You know, I'll lay low and I'll call Joe. Shit, these fucking Dianas. Huh? Is he dead or what?
He ain't dead.
What is it?
I think he's just passed down.
Scared the fucking shit out of me, man. I thought he was dead for sure.
Without medical attention, he will die for sure.
What are we gonna do, man? We can't take him to a hospital.
Without medical attention, the man might not live through the night. Bullet in his belly is my fault. Now, while that might not mean jack shit to you, it means a hell of a lot to me.
First things first, okay? Staying here is goofy. We gotta book up.
What do you suggest we do? Go to a hotel? We got a guy shot in the belly. Can't walk. He bleeds like a stuffed pig. When he's awake, he screams in pain.
You got an idea? Spit it out.
Joe could help. If we get in touch with Joe, Joe could get him to a doctor. Joe could get a doctor to come to see him.
Something you can trust, Joe. How are we going to get in touch with him? Huh? He's supposed to be here, but he ain't, which is making me very nervous about being here. Even if he is on the up and up, I don't think he's going to be too happy with us, okay? He planned a robbery. He's got a bloodbath on his hands now. He's got dead cops, dead robbers, dead civilians. Jesus Christ, I tend to doubt he's going to have a lot of sympathy for our plight. I mean, if I was him, I'd try to put as much distance between me and this mess as humanly possible.
Before you got here, Mr. Orange was asking me to take him to a doctor. The hospital. Now, I don't like the idea of turning him over to the cops. If we don't, he's going to die. He begged me to do it.
Well, all right, then I guess we take him to a hospital. I mean, if that's what he said, let's do it. Since he don't know nothing about us, I say it's his decision.
Well, he knows little about me.
What? Wait, you didn't tell him your name, did you?
I told him my first name and where I was from.
Why?
I told him where I was from a few days ago. It was just a natural conversation.
What was telling him your name when you weren't supposed to?
He asked. We had just gotten away from the cops. He just got shot. It was my fault he got shot. He's a fucking bloody mess. He's screaming. I swear to God, I thought he was going to die right then and there. I'm trying to comfort him. Telling him not to worry, everything's going to be okay, I'm going to take care of him. And he asked me what my name was. I mean, the man was dying in my arms. What the fuck was I supposed to do? Tell him I'm sorry? I can't give out that fucking information. It's against the rules. I don't trust you enough.
sure it was a very beautiful scene between
you. Don't fucking patronize me!
I'm talking to you. Lay a sheet on you where you're from.
Yeah!
Well, that's that then, man. I mean, Jesus Christ, I was worried about most of the possibilities there was. Now he knows A, your name, B, what you look like, C, where you're from, and D, what your specialty is. I'm not going to have to show him a hell of a picture for him to pick you out. I mean, that's it, boy. He didn't tell me anything else I can narrow down the selection.
If I have to tell you again to back off, then you're going to go round and round.
We ain't taking him to a hospital.
If we know he's going to die.
And I'm very sad about that, but some fellas are lucky and some ain't.
What the fuck are you touching me for, man?
You wanna fuck with me? I'll show you who you're fucking with.
You wanna shoot me, you little piece of shit?
Go ahead, take a shot. Fuck you, White. I didn't create this situation. I'm dealing with it. You're acting like a first-year fucking thief. I'm acting like a professional. They get him, they can get you. They get you, they get closer to me, and that can't happen. You're looking at me like it's my fault? I didn't tell him my name. I didn't tell him where I was from. Shit, 15 minutes ago, you almost told me your name. Your buddy got stuck in the situation you created. So if you want to go bad looks away, fall out of here.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's going to start crying.
Okay, friends, there we go. That was a rather early scene from Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs. A fantastic piece if you haven't seen it. If you have, I'm sure you enjoyed that. Okay, let's move on to something a little more realistic. And you thought that was frightening? This is a show of just all good news tonight. Yes, indeed. That was a happy little bank robber where everyone dies. And then the next clip we're going to hear from another movie is called Flow, a 2008 documentary film directed by Irina Salina. It examines the global water crisis and presents a case against the growing privatization of the world's dwindling freshwater supply. Okay, so carrying on with the foodie issue, let's carry on with this Flow, and then we'll come back and do the events update, all right? Okay, this is the Unbought and Unbossed show on CHLY 101.7 FM. Here we go.
Most people don't think about where their water comes from. They just turn on the tap and they expect it to be there. Those days are ending. Humans are changing the climate. We already see evidence about it. One of the most significant impacts of climate change will be on our water resources.
This notion that we'll have water forever is wrong. The world is running out of fresh water. In the last 10 years, major water companies from Europe have started taking advantage of pollution and scarcity. Owns water? Who gets to make the decisions about water?
Water privatization was forced on Bolivia by the World Bank.
Water is the most precious commodity for them in the world. It's blue gold.
Water is a common resource. Water is not a property.
The water sector is going to grow at 2 to 3 times the global economy over the next 20 years.
The market is amoral, and it's going to lead to selling to those who can buy it and not to those who need it. They're spending tens of millions of dollars to convince us that bottled water is better than tap water.
There is less than one person regulating the entire bottled water industry. People buying this stuff had no idea where it was coming from.
The company kept pumping during a season of drought.
They took so much water, they're being sued in 5 states.
They kept pumping even then.
We're fighting this battle, this David and Goliath battle.
Water must be protected everywhere.
Who owns the water for survival owns you. And that's the picture that people have to understand.
It's not a Democratic issue and it's not a Republican issue. It's a people issue.
Without water, we have no society. We have no economy. We have no life.
People say that, well, water's a lot like air. You shouldn't charge for water. Well, okay, watch what happens.
Hey friends, how you doing? Thought someone was just calling and they're not. Okay, let's move on to the campus community update. No, this is the events update. And you know what? Nanaimo and surrounding area. This is about the weakest events update selection I have ever seen. There's only a few things in here, and those are the ones that are always in there. Time, get your stuff in here. That's what it's. This is your radio station. You are our community in our campus community deal, right? So, come on. Let's fill up this book. What's going on out there? It's summer. There should be tons of things going on. Apparently, there's only a few, and this is one of them. The 24th annual Couch and Valley Car Picnic. Okay, that is a abbreviated events update because the book is damn near empty. Fill it up, Nanaimo. Okay, that has been brought to you by the fine 9/11 Truth Groups in Edmonton and the Fraser Valley. Thank you for being business sponsors. You get your mention once a week. And you fellows and gals obviously know the importance of independent media and keeping it on the air. Thank you very much. As well as to warcriminalsout.com. Warcriminalsout.com. Very nice. Okay, so there we are. That is the campus community update. The current time is 9:16. I still haven't got to this Comatica part. So why don't we get on to that? So I'll tell you a little bit about the movie, and then I'm going to read a manifesto that Ben Stewart has written if you visit their website, which is talismanicidols.org. I'll spell that for you. You know what? I'll give you the address afterwards because you don't know how interesting it is. And well, you know what I mean. Got to get the order right, right? Okay, so this is, I'm not going to say a follow-up, but the second movie, the first one being Esoteric Agenda, which was rather popular. I'm going to guess that was maybe a year and a half ago or last year. Quite a popular piece. And, okay, there's definitely going to be some controversy over this film because they are suggesting, well, they being Ben Stewart, is that In Action is going to be, let me see, very complicated movie. A lot of tricky ideas, a lot of big questions being addressed. That some similar goals that this story is putting out are also more than likely the goals of this New World Order. Population control being one. However, Ben Stewart is suggesting that it has to come from within. There has to be an inner shift, and that we can have no outward shift, you know, global governance, until we take care of the inside. And so he has some really controversial things to say, and I'm going to get to that right now. But a little bit more about the movie. It is in 8 chapters. It is 57 minutes long. You can... let's see, it was its first public showing is at the New York Arts Festival in March of this year. I have emailed Ben Stewart, asked him for an interview. So hopefully that will be coming up in the next couple weeks. So talismanicidols.org, T-A-L-I-S-M-A-N-I-C, so talismanicidols, I-D-O-L-S, and that's .org. We're going to be hearing two clips tonight, from the very beginning of the movie, which is called Creation, and then a short couple moments of Mythos, the second, and then from Chapter 4, which is on law. And some of the ideas expressed in the law piece I've played by, who's it, Jordan Maxwell, talks a lot about similar issues, the admiralty law, and understanding what words mean, that there's been a huge perversion of what words mean, and it's really important that you understand what a birth certificate means. What exactly is that certificate for? So that's just one of many examples. So let me get into this piece here. So Ben Stewart says, "Everywhere I look, I see decisive action being taken. I see many people doing, but many people simply being and observing. Oh, I'm sorry, but not many people simply being and observing. Being a spiritual, free, and sovereign individuals that we are, and observing their own behavior and learning about themselves." He says that I, too, am one of those, and I am also on the same journey and path of self-discovery that everyone else is on. I see people writing, speaking, screaming at the top of their lungs for a global reform of government, religion, society, culture, philosophy, and anything else that can be changed on a topical level. But sadly, all of these attempts are in vain if there is no inner shift, no inner development. Revolutions are impotent and irrelevant if they do not begin with or somehow deeply involve the inner conscious development of the individual. Most movements I see today have brilliant social and political integrity. They touch upon every key point within the basic material structure of our existence. But they do very little to foster an environment in which the individual can become an interdependent being who follows his or her own conscious intentions, but does so for the betterment of humanity as a whole and not just the individual. That is why, beginning in the next few months, I will be exercising a great deal of hypocrisy in introducing the Hanged Man Project. The reason why I call it hypocritical of me to introduce anything that people can become involved with is because this is the very behavior I express as being the basis of humanity's illness. However, I feel that to spread awareness of the philosophy of inward development and why it could prove to be more efficient and beneficial to mankind than any other method is of utmost importance, and I will take the responsibility for the initiation of this project. Once initiated, however, this project will no longer be mine. I will allow it to grow on its own, because it will stand as a symbol. I am just another individual with biases and personal traits and tribulations to go through. Therefore, I am in no better of a position to take control of this project than anyone else. Skipping a bit, the purpose of the Hanged Man Project is for those involved to use their own artwork and creativity to discover their own fears and behaviors that they express to the world. Fears and behaviors of all individuals are closer to the true nature of why we see such atrocities in the world than any other proposed cause. And without full understanding of our fears, we will keep feeding this cancer upon our earth that is causing immense pain and suffering. Okay, you with me on this? Carry on. It gets more interesting. This is Ben Stewart of Talismanic Idols. The movie is Kymatica. I'll spell that for you. Kymatica. You can watch it on Google. I suggest you do. Who sent this to me? It was Anna. Anna sent me this one. Okay, so let's carry on reading from the title page that this Ben Stewart has written. The inevitable result of such self-ownership and self-governance is global non-compliance. Global non-compliance. And global non-compliance is the only true solution to the problems we face. While every other movement out there is focused on the physical structure of government, economy, society, culture, and religion, these are merely temporary band-aids on a deeper wound. However, the Hanged Man Project does not conflict with any of these movements. It is still important to act, to get involved, and to learn and experience the world. So long, and this is kind of a big so long, as we are focusing just as much attention on our inner self. We will eventually destroy this global parasite that's feeding on our fears. But it is very important to recognize that without understanding why these horrific events take place and why there is such a deadly disease on this earth, we will never be able to fight it. You can pull a weed from the top, and two more will grow back in its place. You can sedate a symptom of an infection, but eventually two more will pop up. A lot of these ideas are covered in the film. the reason why no one has successfully been able to form a resistance against global tyranny, endless war, famine, and bigotry, is because no one accepts the fact that deep down inside, we need these things. And indeed, we created them. Not on a conscious level, but on an unconscious, universal level, through the behaviors, thoughts, and actions that we don't recognize about ourselves. We created the evil on this earth, and there's no reason to beat ourselves up over it. We needed to create it. It is necessary to have these things in physical form in order to show us what we are doing to ourselves on the inside. And until we take responsibility for our own thoughts and actions, there is not a political leader among us, not a religion on earth, not a revolution or movement in sight, and not a reform of society in the world that will save us from the extinction in front of us. And I cannot stress enough that this is a call to action only to discover how we ourselves created this mess we're in. It is not to pass blame or to organize action against anything. Yeah, it seems to be calling for inaction in some ways, and that's interesting. Interesting words he's chosen. This will conclude it. He says, and remember, there is no possibility of failure in this project, because there is not just one goal. If all that comes of this is that we become more aware of our inner nature, then that's what's supposed to come of this. Once we come to the understanding that our fears are not a demon to be destroyed, but a life lesson to be learned from, we will alleviate the pain of the entire world, and this cancer will be no more. There you go. That's a mouthful. You could say that. So, if you want to visit the website, read that yourself. Of course, I'll have links on my website. But you can go to talismanicidols.org. Also, you can just type in Chymatica. You'll find it at Google, and from there there'll be a link to their website. So it's Chymatica, K-Y-M-A-T-I-C-A. Producer, writer, director Ben Stewart. The first time I saw this movie, I was quite shocked. It was visually stunning, and the narrative is bang on. He's a good writer. And I thought, this is a little too slick. Something's not right here. It's too slick. So I thought on it, and I've watched it again, and then I've since recorded it. And the video footage is pretty much stock and homemade stuff. So not a lot of money was spent on the video. Not that I would know, the exact cost of buying different clips, but likewise, I'm sure he just has a professional software of film editing, and the film looks fantastic. Again, it's almost like eight different essays that he's reading, and it transfers really well. So that's what we're going to hear about. This first chapter is called Creation, and let's get on to that. That's about 9 minutes long. Okay, so this is the beginning, 9 minutes of a new documentary. Well, I don't know if you call it a documentary, a philosophical film anyways, called Chymatica.
Evolution is a term to define only one organism, and that's the self. The self is the universe. The self is the Alpha and Omega, God and infinity. And that's the only thing that evolves, because we are all part of the self. Nothing goes through an evolutionary process alone or without direct benefit to the whole. So when you begin to think that there's this controlling elite, this controlling hand behind the curtains leading the planet to destruction, when you think the end is near, the apocalypse, Armageddon, and when you think we as a species are doomed? It is not they, it is you that brought this about. And for a very good reason. You are evolving. Stop blaming everybody and everything else. Quit panicking about global tyranny and natural disaster and pay attention. Because the world is telling you something. It's telling you exactly what is wrong with you and how to fix it.
Earth is believed to have formed 4.6 billion years ago. Within the first 150 million years, it began cooling and releasing gases from the lithosphere, which created the earliest forms of the Earth's atmosphere. Prior to the creation of this atmosphere, the sun's ultraviolet radiation made for uninhabitable conditions. But as the Earth cooled further, water condensed in the atmosphere, and oxygen accumulated, making way for organic compounds. This spawned single-celled organisms, and then plant life. And down through time, the evolutionary chain continued. And then we arrive at a species that does not seem to fit as well as the rest. Homo sapiens' gestation period of 9 months mimics the 3.8 billion-year evolution of all life on Earth. The human embryo repeats the evolution of all species. When the sperm and egg unite, this new creation is a single-celled organism. Within hours, this single cell divides and multiplies more rapidly than any other species. 4 weeks later, the embryo begins to develop gills mimicking aquatic life. A few weeks later, it develops lungs and a tail with reptilian appearance. From there, a mammal is recognizable, and then onto a primate form. It then sheds its laguna, which is the embryonic fur, and at last, shows the characteristics of a human child. The human body is a community of approximately 50 trillion cells. Everything the body does, the cell does as well. Cells have respiratory and excretory systems. They feed, feel, think, and communicate with other cells. Trillions of cells make up a single organism called the human body, and billions of human bodies help make up the organism we call Earth. The Earth has more similarities with the human anatomy than you may think. Earth has its own electromagnetic generation, just like the human body. Research has found that a direct current of electricity flows through perineural cells found around every nerve in the body. These pathways are called energy meridians and have been used in the practice of acupuncture for at least 2,000 years. Dating even farther back is the notion of dragon paths or ley lines in which many megalithic structures and stone monuments were erected, marking the energy meridians of the Earth. These energy meridians are generated by the resonant frequencies of the Earth, called the Schumann waves. Each planetary body has its own resonant frequencies, and is determined by the circumference and diameter, as well as the speed of orbit and rotation. The Earth's resonant frequency starts at 7.83 Hz and ends with the seventh harmonic at 43.2 Hz, correlating with the seven chakras. Ultimately, the greatest discovery of our Earth is its consciousness. A visible attribute of consciousness is an energetic field that governs the shaping of organisms, Morphogenesis is a scientific term to explain this very shaping of tissues, organs, and entire organisms. Consciousness is the creative force of the entire universe. It has been given many names, such as God, Yahweh, Krishna, nature, the field, and divinity. The entire universe is in fact a single living conscious organism with complete awareness of itself. The reason why it may seem difficult to comprehend this is because our understanding is typically limited by our language. When we hear the term conscious organism, we tend to anthropomorphize its definition. By giving it human qualities, we mistakenly look past what an organism truly is in the first place. The definition of an organism is any living thing capable of response to stimuli, reproduction, growth and development, and maintenance of homeostasis as a stable whole. Our universe does all of these things. The consciousness of our universe is responsible for the form and purpose that all matter assumes. The Earth's resonant frequencies are a result of its form. These frequencies are responsible for biological rhythms, such as menstrual and circadian cycles, as well as behavioral and emotional patterns. The frequencies are then picked up by the flora and fauna, which are biological instruments that respond to the wave patterns. The wave patterns resonate in the cranial structure of our head and converge in the center of our brain, which is where we find the pineal gland. The pineal gland is believed in many cultures to be the spiritual third eye responsible for intuition. Descartes called it the seat of the soul where mind and body meet. Each individual cell in our body receives an electromagnetic impulse from our central nervous system. They receive the very same impulse that was disseminated to every biological instrument from the earth. An explanation of our conscious universe has been attempted by religion, science, and philosophy. The neglect of biological nature from any organism causes illness. A divorce from nature, exile from Eden, confounding of tongues, they are all symptoms not of a biblical God or deity, but the true self. The greatest and only threat to ourselves is a loss of self, the death of our divinity. As we barrel through history with oceans of information, yet barely a drop of wisdom, we have to understand how we lost ourselves. In sacred texts and ancient scriptures left by our ancestors, we find an incredible link between stories of creation, a great flood, the war of the gods, the Messiah dying for the sins of man, end time prophecies, and similar characters. These correlations show up in myths from cultures that supposedly had no contact with one another due to distance in geography and time. The common thread we find that connects all of mythology has its roots in the stars.
Okay, and that's where I've chosen to end part one. I told you it took you a little bit into the second chapter on mythos and concluding the first chapter, creation. A lot of big topics in there. So many, in fact, I think you need a small break. And here's a little musical interlude, The Recanters. Jack White's second band or third band, I'm not too sure. Jack White's a lot of fun. This is called Old Enough, and I'm going to be back with more of that Ben Stewart and Chymatica after this track. So stay tuned.
You look pretty in your fancy dress, but I detect unhappiness. You never speak, so I have to guess you're not free.
All right, very nice. That was Old Enough by the Raconteurs. Old Enough, Jack White, White Stripes. There you go. Okay, so let's get back to this Chymatica, and we're going to be looking at a chapter called Law. And, well, there's a lot of interesting things out there, and I've had a couple guests in the past that have talked on some of these different topics and fascinating stuff. Maxwell Jordan, he hasn't personally been on the show, but I've played audio clips of him, speaking about the importance of understanding what words mean. Where did those words come from? And because certainly words are being perverted now. That's just one of the many things that you're going to hear about in the next 10 minutes or so. So there we go. Let me remind you, you're listening to CHLY 101.7 FM, downtown Nanaimo. This is the Unbought and Unbossed show. I'm your host, Raymond Geisler. If you would like to email me for whatever reason, you can do so at Raymond Truth Radio. Raymond Truth Radio at hotmail.com. Okay, here it is, more Kinematica, and I'm hoping to get Ben Stewart, the producer of this piece, on the show in the coming weeks. Pretty interesting topics, as I hope you found, because I sure find fascinating stuff. And again, I was telling you that it hit me. It was rather awkward, you know. It was so many big topics and big ideas coming at me. It was like, wow, you know, couldn't this be a series of movies? You know, I mean, there's a lot of information packed in here. And, you know, talking about, you know, the big ideas, you know, the meaning of life. And, yeah, fascinating stuff. So let's take a little history lesson down through the law books now. This is Kinematica. You can watch it on Google. So there you go. It's K-Y-M-A-T-I-C-A. That's where you'll find it.
Let's look at the forms of law that we currently acquiesce to. A common misconception among people is that any rule or regulation that governs them falls under one category, law. But there are many other forms of law that people abide by without realizing that they simply do not apply to them. Another misconception is that a nation's constitution gives us our rights. A constitution does nothing more than list the rights that we already have. We are born with inalienable rights, endowed to us by our Creator. They are not given to us, and they cannot be given away. The most a person can do with a right is choose whether to exercise it or not. Maritime admiralty law is what's known as the law of the water. It is superseded by civil law and only applies to those who willingly contract themselves into it. The definition of admiralty law is a body of private international law governing the relationships between private entities which operate vessels on the oceans. Let's look at how and why a form of law that is fashioned to govern corporations, businesses, and vessels has imposed its rule over natural human beings. This is all done through a form of word magic. A simple perversion of language has made it possible to convince people around the world that these alternative laws apply to them. One of the predominant beliefs in modern culture is that licenses, permits, registrations, and other forms of documentation are required to operate motor vehicles, use public roads, build structures and establishments, engage in free enterprise, and much more. Sadly, these beliefs are based on little to no investigation whatsoever, and are false. This belief structure is perpetuated by maritime admiralty law. This form of law was originally created to govern ships docking in foreign nations for the import or export of products and resources. It deals with banking and merchant affairs, not civil affairs. When a product is taken off of a ship and brought into a foreign land, that nation takes custody of the resource and accounts for it with a certificate. That certificate marks the birth date of that product in the custody of the respective nation. Think of why it is supposedly required to have a certificate of live birth in the first place. The Barron's Dictionary of Banking Terms defines a certificate as a paper establishing an ownership claim. So right there, we notice that everyone with a birth certificate is defined as being owned. People are used as collateral with other nations because the U.S. is bankrupt. The United States declared bankruptcy on March 9th of 1933. At this point, the U.S. began taking out loans from a private, non-government-affiliated corporation called the Federal Reserve. With no money to pay back the loans, the United States began using the citizens as collateral. All birth and marriage certificates are literally warehouse receipts. Just look at the similarities of warehouse receipts and birth certificates. Both document the date of issue, a serial number, registration number or receipt number, a description of the product, and an authorized informant to notify the appropriate government agency. With all of this information being readily available, the majority of people are unaware of their involvement with maritime admiralty law. This is possible through the manipulation of language. This admiralty law changed the meaning of the word person from a natural living person to a corporation. Driver's licenses, vehicle registrations, auto insurance forms, building permits, gun permits, work permits, tax filing documents, birth and death certificates, traffic citations, and many other forms of documentation that were once believed to be absolutely necessary only apply to persons or corporations. Upon signing such a legal document, you are indirectly waiving your rights under the Constitution and lowering your status to that of a corporation that is created with the same exact name as you. The only way to reconcile your true name from the name of the corporation is to take notice that the corporation has its name in all capital letters. This is known as Capitis Diminutia Maxima. You may take notice that your driver's license, birth certificate, social security card, insurance cards, and more use all capital letters to legally represent the corporation with your name, not you. The corporation is known as an artificial person, whereas you, the human being, are known as a natural person. This deception goes even deeper when it comes to the courts that we attend. When showing up to court, you will notice that there are seats for witnesses behind a wooden fence or barrier. The defendant must cross through the entrance to the other side of the barrier where the plaintiff and judge sit. This act symbolizes the boarding of a ship. At this time, business can be conducted in maritime admiralty law. The judge, acting as captain or banker, is responsible for settling the balance between the two sides. This is why there is always a monetary value involved in any court case. The captain is simply dealing with banking and merchant disputes. Once the balance is paid, the case is closed. To turn the court case away from admiralty law where your rights are not protected, you must avoid agreeing to represent the artificial person. This is done by stating that you are the natural person. You don't have a first or last name because those imply corporate title. In a court case, you may state that the court takes judicial notice of your honor's oath of office. Every judge must take an oath of office to practice law. Yet you must make it clear to the court and the jury that the judge is acting as judge and not banker. Remember that you are a natural human being of the earth. You are not governed by anything but your own consciousness. Laws are created within a society. The society that created the laws we see being enforced today is called the Law Society. Yet the most beautiful part of this entire deception is the fact that we are not part of the Law Society, so their laws do not apply to us.
Judges, lawyers, and law enforcement officers, they're all part of a society. Within that society, they've created their own language that's deceptively similar to English. They have these little things called statutes, acts, and regulations that seem like laws, but they really only apply to those within their society. So that basically means all the traffic violations, minimum age requirements, and everything except for damage to another person or their property doesn't really apply to the natural person.
Laws only apply to those within the law society. The game being played is an illusion. You can simply choose to open your eyes and reclaim the freedom that you were born with, bound by nothing but the limits of your imagination. These are just a few examples of assuring that your rights are being protected. By far, the most important line of defense against this deception is to be aware of the perversion of language, and be absolutely aware of how you form your beliefs and concepts. Forms of the perversion of language, there is a mirror reflection of this in the microcosm of the psyche.
And the problem I see with humanity today is the 9-to-5 job. We have the house, the children, the bills, the television, the hobbies, and the errands that we run every single day. And we eventually begin to believe that this is who we are. You know, but who are we to meet the job title, to meet the status of mother or father, theist or atheist, Republican or Democrat, black or white, man or woman? Who are we? Who are we deep down inside? We don't know, because every time we hear an answer that we don't want to accept about ourselves, we deny it. We'll pass it off and project it onto somebody else and judge them for it. This is repression. And we see what repression can do to us on an individual level, but what about on a collective level of humanity? What happens when the whole world refuses to see what they truly are on the inside?
There it is. That is Chymatica. That was from the fourth chapter, Law. So that is a new documentary. Well, I guess you'd call it a documentary. So that is Chymatica, K-Y-M-A-T-I-C-A. You can watch that on Google. The creative person behind that is Ben Stewart. Well, that is going to do it for tonight's show of Unbought and Unbossed. Thanks for tuning in on this Canada Day. And we're going to do it again next week, all right? So you guys be well. I'm going to finish it off with a Black Sabbath song. And then stay tuned for Sandeep and the Late Shift coming in at 11 to 1. So there we are, friends. Be well.
And again, thanks to Glenn at CascadiaPublicRadio.org, who not only serves up Media Monarchy and the Corbett Report and Ground Zero Lounge and Alan Watt, Wayne Madsen, Webster Tarpley, on and on and on and on. Actually, if you just subscribe to Glenn's feed on RadioForAll.net, that'll pretty much cover you for all your alternative radio news needs.